Okay, I think we were with Congresswoman Stabler, second speaker.
Thank you, Chair. You know, I was looking at those that have joined us by Zoom. Here we are in the second week of session, appropriations meeting. We have a loaded. Okay, so now start over. Okay, thank you, Chair. So, you know, I'm looking at those that have joined us on Zoom. Thank you guys for being here. But it is the second week of session. We have a loaded appropriations agenda today, so I'm concerned that there isn't anyone from Treasury.
Let me see. Brooklyn, could you identify who's on the call, please? Pardon me?
Everyone's been identified.
Can you tell me? We just can't see that far.
We've got Assistant Chief Walker, Director Kimball, Congresswoman Lemon, Desiree Wood, Congressman Potts, Secretary Holding. Is she a director or secretary? Director, sorry, Director Holding. There's a Shadlow, L. Shadlow, LaDonna Shadlow, pardon me, and Teresa Bledsoe.
Okay, thank you. Assistant Chief, would the Treasury Department be joining the meeting today?
I thought they were going to. I'll reach out right now.
Okay, and if maybe not the Treasurer, maybe the Comptroller?
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Thank you, sir. All right, any other questions regarding a second speaker?
Thank you, Chair. So I do notice at the end of our agenda are the items that have been requested from Treasury. Obviously, we haven't received them. Have you an idea of what the status might be?
No, ma'am. The last meeting we had, we were told that we would receive some of the information that day. I think it was the financials, revolving funds maybe, and something else. I'll have to look, but we have not received anything at all. So it's not, I just want the committee to know it's not from a lack of trying and reaching out and asking for information. So I haven't even got a response as to why or why not. But are there any other questions? If not, the next item on our agenda is item number 6, which is OMCR 2319, a resolution to approve a request for a 5% cost of living adjustment COLA for the Osage Nation merited employees for fiscal year 2024. And I am the sponsor. And before we move forward, I just wanted to talk a little bit about this. You want to take over, Ms. Second Speaker, the Vice Chair?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'd be happy to. You have the floor. Okay,
thank you. So back on May 1st, we received a 2024 inflation adjustment to base rate of pay memo from the treasurer. And that's where we came up with the percentage. And this is described in law. And we did this last year as well. And so at that point, I drafted this resolution to allow Congress to decide, you know, what percentage they would consider, or even if they would consider doing a COLA. Most of the budgets that came over do not include a COLA. I think the only one was the health folks. And that's it. And I think they put in a COLA at 10%. And so I think this resolution is going to be important because it also affects IDC. We also do not currently have an IDC agreement in place. We're using a estimate of 25% on IDC. So I was trying to get the IDC agreement from Treasury so that we could look at the actual real cost of doing this COLA and then have it reflected in the information submitted so that we could appropriate. Well, more so now since we're exceeding projected revenue, you know, I really would like to see what this looks like. They did send over in the tribal information, they sent over a section or a support doc. We created a section for the merited amount. So it looks like they estimated it, but they just sent it over as one big number. Again, I would think that we need to look at how you guys want to see that. The amount they sent over was an estimate of $303,800 and an IDC of $49,000. But I was kind of wanting to visit with the treasurer about this because it's his initial memo that we received.
Here.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, second speaker. You're the chair.
Yes, go ahead.
I was just going to let the Congresswoman Rivard know that I'm on the call, man. I got the link.
Thank you, Treasurer McIntosh. Also, looks like Mr. Harrison Perry is on the line. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I was not provided the Zoom link initially. Thank you.
I sent an invite to you yesterday, and I'm sorry if you didn't get the Zoom link. Seemed like everybody else did, though. So we're talking about item number 6, Tyler, regarding the COLA. And I guess, do you have a IDC agreement that's been executed that we can discuss? We haven't received any of the documents that we requested last week.
Yes, as we discussed, know that the current rate of 23.96 is what we've been operating off of historically pretty well. You can call that 24%. The tentative rate based on the 21 audits and the 2018 audit that's been derived from those audits is pushing up to 27.8%. I'm supposed to have my tentative estimated rate for 22 by 1 o'clock today. So when you look at the rates of 24%, and you look at the rates of 28%, then you kind of average out for budgetary purposes at 25%, because it's an estimate. These are budgets.
Okay, so you're saying the total cost then that you sent down for this merit is the 300 and some odd thousand with the IDC at 49?
What was the 49?
Oh. 49,000 for IDC. So the amount you sent down information, it just says merit, and which is not COLA. Is this different? Is this what you sent down, a merit for employees, or is this the COLA? The 5%.
The memo I sent down regarding the 5% increase is related to the COLA inflation adjustment. You're referencing the one from May.
May 1st?
Yes.
Okay, so what you sent down for $303,800 is for a merit, not the COLA.
You're talking about for the merit department that we created the for the $300,000.
I guess I've never heard of a merit department, but there was information sent down from executive, and it looks like it says merit, and the request is for tribal dollars in the amount of $303,800. And my question is this a merit or is it the COLA?
That's for merited employees. That is not associated with COLA. That is for a review of directors and supervisors and managers, and it's a project going on within the Human Resources Department. So that would not be associated with the COLA.
Okay, so we don't have a cost then. What I'm looking for is a total cost of the COLA. If Congress was to approve this resolution with IDC, what the total cost would be?
I'm showing up to, at the max, roughly, potentially, a 5% increase in the wages on the executive branch, tribal departments, including enterprise departments, roughly showing about an $850,000 increase in wages, estimating about $250 increase in fringe at 30%, which is an estimate. That's coming in at about 1.1 with an IDC rate of 25%. That's close to another $250,000, so it's roughly 1 point max. I'm showing for the tribal would be 1.4 with impact on wages, fringe, and IDC.
Okay, so would you, number one, how are we going to reflect that in what was sent down from the executive branch? Is that reflected anywhere with the support docs we received?
No, we did not. We discussed when we were creating and going through the budget process with the committee that since the we would not put the 5% in, we put that out in our budget instructions based on the fact that the code says Congress has to approve it. So we determined that if you approve it, then we'll go back and update the micro documents.
Could you send us the report that tells us how much it would cost? We're not able to do that, Tyler, because we don't have the information. So we need to have that, if you would.
On the COLA?
Yes.
Because the COLA, you just take the 5% against your total salaries. And then once you get that number, you would just take fringe and IDC against that new amount, but I can send that. As long as you have a wage number, it should be able to calculate it.
Do we include the merit?
Me, I don't think you would include merit. Merit's typically for more incentive type pay. That's usually whether that's in form of a bonus or something of that nature. Those are usually one for one. And COLA is really more, I would just stick more to wages, not merit.
What about the fringe?
The fringe, once you take the 5% against the total wages, you just apply the fringe rate and IDC arranged against that. So you really, you would just add the new calculation of, here's 5% of total salaries. I'm showing roughly a high estimate, 850,000. That's the impact on wages. On that 850, I'm going to take 30% and 25%. And that's the total impact.
Committee, any questions? Oh, sorry, Chair.
Thank you. Committee, what questions do you have?
Chair.
Yes, Congresswoman Rickhorn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. McIntosh, I would really, is this a report that's possible for you to send to us? This is, we don't have the information to be able to generate this report, and I don't think that our budget analyst needs to be doing it when it's a request from executive to increase these salaries. Having the report from executive would be appropriate, in my opinion. Is that possible for you to generate for us?
That is possible. I am working on that, and I apologize to the committee. I had a personal matter come up last week, family health related, and I was unable to work in the latter part of the week. I will pick it up and get you the information requested.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh, and I can appreciate the need to attend to your family, and I'm glad you were afforded the opportunity to do so. When do you think that we can get that report from you?
There's committee meetings all day today, so in between, I'll be working on it at lunch and also this evening after the committee meetings.
Your committees or our committees all day?
There's an appropriations, if I look at the calendar, there's appropriations meetings this morning. There's also a governmental operations committee meeting this afternoon.
Okay. Thank you.
Committee? I do have a quick question because Congresswoman Rivard mentioned it somewhat, but there is an actual budget, Tyler, you referred to it a bit, called merit. $303,800. Can you please explain what that is?
I think the Human Resources Department would be provide a better explanation. Essentially, it's a way they're going through reviewing, evaluating, I think, levels of, like I said, I probably defer to the HR department on that. But it's basically essentially to work on, I know Congress, you've requested, you know, equal pay, things of that nature in legislation. Those are activities that were already being reviewed and looked at, and I believe this is part of that process.
Thank you, committee. Speaker.
Thank you. So, Tyler, just so that you're aware that today's GovOps meeting, while it does say it lasts, you know, the better part of this afternoon, there's only a few things on the agenda, and all these committees of jurisdiction are, you know, asking questions in committee meeting, and they're pushing things through to the floor with the due pass. But ultimately, as you know, the legislation's going to hit the floor, and then it's going to go right back to appropriations. And so I know you said you'll work on the reports this evening, but you probably will be able to get to those this afternoon, as the GovOps meeting probably will not last any longer than an hour, if that. And so all the reports that this committee is requesting, it's prudent that we get them, because without the numbers, we're not able to make decisions. And this is the committee where the decisions regarding the numbers are going to have to be made. So I just wanted to say that much. Thank you.
Thank you, Speaker.
Chair.
Yes.
So thank you. And just to my colleagues, I don't know what it is that you guys would like to see in order to vote. So I don't want to speak for you. I'm just telling you what I'd like to see. And I don't know if you guys want to just leave this here. Do you want to send it out? You want to vote on it? I really don't know, and I'm not hearing anything. So I really don't know what type of action to take right now, because I don't know what the cost is, and it seems like it's easy. The treasurer can send it down, but I want to remind everybody we've got a merit, or the COLA. Now we've got a merit, and we may be increasing minimum wage. Every one of you know that the largest cost to our government are salary, fringe, and IDC. And I'm not saying that our folks don't deserve this, but I feel like it needs to be talked about because we're over projected revenue. I've inquired about the projected revenue, but to the treasurer, to the chief of staff, and to the assistant chief, I have no idea how we're going to address this. So we're going to be working like this and just stuck on topics until we get information. I want to work with the executive branch, but I'm not seeing that being reciprocated to me. And it's not the fault of the employees. I feel like every bill that has been filed is an important bill. It's CJO, so of course it has money attached. So with the executive exceeding the outlay by so much, we're kind of in a bind, and they're not offering any solution. So, here we are.
Thank you, Congresswoman Rivard. Congresswoman Stapler.
Thank you. Well, you just kind of took the words out of my mouth. As I mentioned before the meeting started, we still cannot see the bigger picture. We don't have a good oversight of what it is that we're dealing with. We need the contracts for all of the projects. We need the reports that we just talked about regarding all the wages. We have at least three bills going against wages and that are not calculated in. So, and they're over projection. We've gone through this every year that I have been here. And then we try to negotiate how we're going to make this fit. And yes, we do. But this is all just an exercise in futility. In the end, we have to decide what to do. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt right now that they have the information. And if they provide it, then we can get on with the show. But if not, then it's going to be up to us. And all of these things are great ideas and wonderful things for our employees, but they're going to have to be set aside if we can't get to the bottom line. And that's what's happened. We're just sitting here spinning our wheels. So I hope the reports come. I understand the personal issues that are going on with the treasurer. I sympathize and understand that. But let's get back to work. And whether it's on our side or the other side, let's both get back to work. So that this shouldn't be this hard. The frustration comes from this. This is how we got to just working on nothing but budgets during these budgetary times, is because we always have this huge hurdle we have to overcome that we shouldn't have to. Our checkbook has a limited source of funds that come in on it. And every year we get an exceeded request. So, there's, I always say, the sad part is that a lot of times the general public does not know what it is that we see and what we know. And that's what's happening here, is they don't see what we have in front of us and they don't understand how the process works. So I hope the reports come. I hope we can continue with some advancement, because I agree, right now we're going into our second week and we're no better off than we were the first day we read these bills in. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Stapler. Committee.
Chair, I'd like, if I may, Treasurer McIntosh, we've always, everything you've asked for your department to help you with personnel, I feel like you've received. And I'm going to ask you again, is there anything that we can do to help you? So that I feel like on the outside looking in, a lot of this is just dependent upon you. And we've provided you so much money to operate your department so that you could get help. And I feel like that we're no better off than we were last year.
Sure.
And I do want to respect you and your you know, we also understand and empathize with you on what's going on in your, you know, with your personal life, and we respect that. We're in a bind, and I feel like you're drowning, and we also don't have the director of grants any longer, and I feel like you're in a position, and it's bled over to this branch. I don't know what we can do to help you along.
Mr. McIntosh, did you have something that you wanted to say?
Yes. No, I appreciate the statements. I feel that we are many steps ahead of where we were last year. We have completed our audits and are current in that area. We are working on reestablishing different lines of structure. And now one thing that when you're on the operational side, and you do are responsible for operations, you have to continue to ensure operations maintain and keep going while at the same time infuse change into that so that it doesn't impact the operation. Now, I would say that the reason I initially showed up was because that occurred. So we're making changes, but at the same time, we're trying not to create ripples that are not going to slow down the operation. Now, I understand, too, the information will be coming. We're developing and we're redesigning responsibilities within the Treasury Department. And when you do that, you have to step through it. You cannot just up and pull the carpet up, as people say, and rearrange. We are stepping through that. I feel that we have improved over the last year. I feel like we have improved since the day I stepped in the office. And our goal is, and we talk about it continuously, is to continue to improve. Now, our focus has been in the accounting area, and making sure that we're working the numbers over harder than they've been worked over in the last 2 or 3 years. That's the basis for everything. We are getting that done. Really, the biggest addition that we've had in the last year was adding an additional reconciler. We did bring that on, was able to bring that on in the last 3 or 4 months. We're making big headway there, but I feel that we have improved. Do we still have room to improve? Yes, always. And we're trying to make those changes to improve. I will work on the information. As soon as this committee meeting's over, I will get you the reports tomorrow. I did work on them all last week. Like I said, up until Wednesday evening. And even in the hospital, I was answering questions via my phone. So if you feel like there's a lack of effort, if you feel like there's a lack of coordination in our office, I do not see that. I know that you're waiting on information. We're establishing how that information should be developed, reviewed, and rolled out. Those are the processes that we're currently working on, but I feel like we're a lot further ahead than we were last year at this time.
Congresswoman Stapler.
Please don't misunderstand those statements, Tyler. I'm not criticizing the work you've done. I've always been really supportive on the accomplishments that you've made. I'm just saying that in this particular situation, we are no better off than we've been in the past because of the request and then needing the information that we need. I'm not criticizing your plan or your process or your corrections that you've made. We've all appreciated that. We were in really dark days when you came on board here. So I certainly appreciate all of that work. But we do not have the tools over here to make the decisions. This could have been an easy process had the requests come in that fit the outlay. That's our job. And so just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Congresswoman Refart, do you have anything else?
No, ma'am. I think it sounds like I'll make a motion to postpone ONCR 23-19.
Second. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say yes.
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 Any opposed, no? Motion carries. Thank you, committee. I relinquish the chair back to Chair Refart.
Okay, thank you. Second speaker. The next item on our agenda is ONCA 23-95, an act to amend the Osage Fair Minimum Wage Act at 19 ONC 2-103 to raise the minimum wage for the Osage Nation employees to $15.75 an hour beginning 2024. And the sponsor is Congressman Potts. And Mr. Potts, are you on the line still?
I am.
Okay. Good morning, Congressman Potts, and we'll turn it over to you.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill is consistent with the previous discussion. It is simply a 5% increase in our minimum wage. If we're moving up our Meriton employees and all of our other employees, I also believe that we should adjust our minimum wage along those same lines. So the $75 or 75 cents per hour increase is consistent with the 5% COLA that was previously discussed. Having heard all of the previous discussion, I agree. There's some really good laws that I've written that require and compel cooperation from the executive branch that I hope we can revisit at a later time. But with the current understanding of where things are, I will assert a motion to postpone ONCA 2395 to the call of the chair.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay, thank you, Congressman Potts, for joining the call. And what I'm planning to do is just keep the bills on our agenda until we can get some action.
Perfect. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, sir. The next item is ONCA 23-103, an act to amend ONCA 21-95 to authorize appropriation modifications and supplemental appropriations to the executive branch and non-tribal funds, reducing the overall amount by $145,100 and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the sponsor. And so, second speaker, could you please chair this portion?
Yes, I'll be happy to. Thank you. You have the floor.
Okay, thank you. And I believe the if you'll look at this bill, this is 23-103. We have with us our child care director, Ms. Jen Holding. And the first section under section 8 is child care quality. If you'd like to speak to that, Jen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What we did this, since we do a projected
budget. This is based on the previous budget, and so we used numbers from the previous budget to project the new budget. And so what happened was it was over projected, and so we just made adjustments in line items that we could to deduct the amount that was over projected. And then what we'll do is use our discretionary funds to cover that difference.
Thank you so much for that explanation. Committee, what questions do you have? Or Congresswoman Rivard, do you want to go through the entire?
No, I don't have any questions. I understand what she's saying. This is FY22, and typically they get a notice of award that tells them the exact amount. And then, you know, we go, we're going to have to, you know, modify throughout the year with these non-tribal funds, because they have to just project and we never know what's going to happen. And so I don't have any questions for Director Holding regarding this section. The next section is section 16, which is Family Prez. This is operated, as you know, by Director Shadlow, LaDonna. You want to speak to your non-tribal amendment or mod?
Yes, thank you. Good morning. I apologize for my voice. I haven't been feeling well. It's probably allergies, but so when we submit a population change with our 4B1 and 2 funds, typically there's, again, we just estimate how much, you know, we're going to receive, but we were expecting that there would be a slight increase. And so section 16 shows basically a modification for additional funds that were received. And if this gets approved today, then I have about 19 days to spend those funds before we have to return them. So they're in program supplies where we will be buying things for families and putting those in storage so that they can be used later later in this year as well, FY24. But they will have to be spent by the 30th. So I appreciate the fact that they're on appropriations today.
Thank you, Director Shetlow.
The only question, LaDonna, is does it affect the tribal appropriation? I wouldn't imagine that it would, and it is FY22.
Anytime we get additional on either of the 4B, there is a tribal match. So I don't have in front of me the amount it increased. I believe it was just a little over $1,000, but
okay.
Don't quote me on that. And again, I hate explaining it this way, but any funds that come in that can replace funds in our tribal budget in that same line, we're going to spend federal funds first. So when we return funds, I would prefer that they be tribal funds that go back into the retained revenue fund rather than, you know, returning federal funds that were provided to us. What I'm trying to say is that, yes, there may be an additional match, but it will come out in the wash because we will be returning more tribal funds than the match required.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Fraser.
The total increase to tribal appropriations from this bill is $915.
Thank you. I was thinking it was right around $1,000, but I wasn't. I couldn't recall the exact amount.
Thank you, Mr. Frazier.
I don't have any further questions, Chair.
Committee, any questions? Movement?
The next section is 20A, the Homeowner Assistant Fund. And it is, let's see, who's the director over the Homeowner Assistant Fund?
That would be I, Andrea Kimball.
Good morning.
Good morning. So this budget request here is for an additional appropriation of approximately $55,000 that we received. So last year when we gave projected estimates, we underestimated, and the Treasury Department has distributed funds to those tribes that are participating in the homeowners program. And we are one of them. So this is that amount that they have distributed to us. We put 15% of it up in admin for wages and fringe, and the remaining 85 in direct services. This program, another note, this program is available to all Osage homeowners across the country. So it's one of the few programs that are available to Osages everywhere. And we're seeing, applications and getting to serve people, new Osages that we have not seen. So we're excited about it, and it seems to be rolling well. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Kimball.
Chair?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to report out ONCA 23-103 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Discussion.
Yes, Speaker.
Just that I'd like to get some consensus that once we send this out, that we fast track it and try to get it voted on tomorrow so that the LaDonna can spend those funds. If not, if we let it take the natural progression, it will be next week before it's signed. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Good point. I agree.
I do as well.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed? No. Motion carries. Thank you, committee. Chair Brevard, I relinquish back to you.
Okay, thank you, Second Speaker. The next item is ONCA 23-57, an act to authorize and appropriate the amount of $235,000 to the executive branch for the purchase of an ambulance for Scheidler, Oklahoma Volunteer Ambulance Service, and to establish an alternate effective date. And the sponsor is Congresswoman Lemon. Congresswoman Lemon? Okay, until she gets on the call or answers, I have a question. Treasurer McIntosh, you were gonna look at the balance in the donations revolving fund and to see if there was any money available that was not dedicated to a certain activity. Okay, see, this is why I say Zoom calls are not effective, but we'll just keep moving on in this new world of technology.
Chair Rebard, I am here.
Okay.
And I do apologize for this new world of technology. However, it is the world we do live in, so I appreciate the time and the consideration. I appreciate this information, this piece of legislation being put on the committee agenda. This is a piece of legislation that was filed last April of this year, and it was, I requested that it be not put on another committee agenda during our last session due to the fact that we did not have the funding that we felt like at that time to allow for this piece of legislation to go through. This morning, Ms. Kimball has sent some support documents that are from back in April and February, and I would like to for the committee to know that, and anyone else listening in, that the amount of the request, there hasn't been a suggestion for an increase of the amount of the to go up, you know, which I suspected there would be, but there hasn't been. Also, the support documentation, like I said, has been sent to you all at 9:09 a.m. this morning. Was the first one, I believe, that came in. And the request, I spoke with Mr. Mitchell, who is on the city council at Shidler, and as you can see, they are only one of a few volunteer, actually, ambulance and EMS services. And they also, if you can, you can also look at the support documentation that we have, that they currently have a very large service area. And I want to turn your attention to the support documentation that was received at 9:33 a.m., not 9:09 a.m. I do apologize. And if you've had the chance to read his letter of support, the last time we did speak about this request, the ambulance service, the ambulance is 15 years old, and it is still in service. However, I did find out that it is currently in the shop, and there is something that's not working correctly on the current ambulance, and I have not received information. I'm waiting on it to come back on what they're doing in the meantime if they have a service call. You can also see that if you look at the second page of the support documentation, the large pink area in your support documentation shows the vast amount of acres that they actually cover. Granted, there's not a dense population in this area. However, it is what they are responsible for covering as a volunteer fire station. They asked for the request back in February. The bill was filed in April of this year, and they had a current working ambulance. They just knew that the life expectancy was going to be, that it was going to be difficult to keep the current one going, and they asked for a donation to purchase a new ambulance. There's also in your support documentation a quote. And is Mr. Frazier at the meeting today, Chair Rebard?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Frazier, we discussed this particular quote amount, and I believe you sent me an email concerning, I had you look at the actual quote to see if it was in compliance, not really compliance, but if it was in the same ballpark range of other ambulance donations we've done to cities. Do you recall that, Mr. Frazier?
Good morning. I do recall that, but I don't remember what the conclusion was.
I believe you did send an email to us. Let me look here. We did an ambulance for Pawhuska, and we've done an ambulance for Hominy. And I believe it's in the same ballpark as the request from Shidler. I'm going to look that up. So,
Madam Chair.
Yes, Jordan.
I found the email. It says in 2021, Congress appropriated $239,900 to purchase a new ambulance for Pawhuska EMS and another $230,000 to purchase an ambulance for Hominy. Based on those appropriations and the prices quoted on some different ambulance websites, it seems like the requested amount is in the range one might expect for a new ambulance.
Would you like that email forwarded to the committee, Madam Chair?
Yes, that would be good. Thank you.
Do you mind forwarding that, Mr. Frazier?
Yes, ma'am, I'll get that forwarded.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so Congresswoman Lemon, before you joined the call, I had asked the treasurer if there were a balance in the donations revolving fund, but I hadn't had a response yet.
Yes, ma'am.
Treasurer McIntosh?
I'm working on that information. I have it here just shortly.
Excuse me?
I'm pulling my document at the current time to give you that balance.
Okay, thank you. Committee, do you guys have any questions for Congresswoman Lemon? Speaker Goodfox?
I don't have any questions. I'm looking through the support documentation that Brooklyn sent out this morning. Haven't gotten all the way through it, but I am a proponent of waiting to send this out until after we get the budgets done, which is what we've done with all other donation requests. And so I don't know that I have any more conversation. Like, I don't know if there's anything else. Like I said, I don't have any questions right now. But I'll make a motion to postpone. Oh, well, let me see if there's anyone else that has questions, I guess, before I make that motion.
Well, what I would like to do is get an answer from the treasurer, because we may have a good balance in our donation fund. And if that's the case, then the sponsor, Congresswoman Lemon, could amend her bill to have it come from the donations revolving fund.
Chair.
Yes, Treasurer McIntosh.
When you look at the balance sheet for the donations revolving fund, as of July 31st, I'm showing it's sitting at $2.8 million. Now, the thing you have to take into consideration is most of that comes in there is restricted. I do not show that we have a large unrestricted balance. As far as I know, that I want to say that the unrestricted amount is probably less than probably $25,000. The only thing that I know that's coming into this fund that's unrestricted is a head right donation that we received from a church in Missouri. Everything else is earmarked, and per the code, when it comes in earmarked, it's restricted.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the comments from Speaker Goodfox. I really did not intend for this to be able to, I knew that we probably weren't going to be able to get this out personally, just me looking at it from, you know, the bigger overall picture. And I appreciate the information from from Treasurer McIntosh. I do recall us discussing that in prior committee meetings about the donation revolving fund and it mainly being restricted funds, and I knew that we weren't there as far as the amount that was needed. There's other possibilities where we could possibly look for, and I'm not against amending this piece of legislation at all as far as where the funding source would come from. And I'm not opposed to waiting until absolutely we get everything taken care of for our governmental funding. So I appreciate the committee's time.
Okay,
and I made make a motion to postpone ONCA 2356. Call the chair.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, thank you, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, committee. Thank you, ma'am.
The next item on our agenda is item number 10, which is ONCA 23-88, an act to authorize and appropriate $50,000 to the court-appointed special advocates of Osage and Pawnee counties as a grant to benefit members of the Osage Nation and the community and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman, or Second Speaker Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate it. Committee, as you are aware, we have supported CASA, court-appointed special advocates, for some time. This request, as you can see, probably the first thing you noticed is that the request has increased from $20,000 last year to $50,000 this year. So I wanted to be sure to have a good discussion about that. I don't think any of us can argue that the mission and purpose of CASA is a good one. Anything that we can do to help our children is, in my opinion, worth it. I know that the director of CASA sent a letter to each of the congresspeople. In her letter, she said that during the last 6 months, they had served 12 Osage Nation children in the Osage Nation Tribal Court, Osage District Court, Pawnee District Court. And the analysis was attached to the letter as to how they came up with the request for $50,000. Now, I have talked to the director since that time. They have added additional Osage children. They're now serving 15. In the past 2 years, they've had 19 cases involving Osage Nation children. Out of those cases, 9 involved a reunification with the family, 2 aged out of the system, and 8 adoptions were involved. So I guess the way I look at it is if we're able to help even one Osage child maneuver through a very difficult time, it is something that is a good thing to do. So I just wanted to kind of open the floor up to any questions, discussion that anyone has regarding the additional request and how you might feel about it.
Committee. How much, a second speaker, did it increase from? I can't remember what was given last year.
20,000.
And did they send any support docs to justify the increase?
The increase, the support doc that they sent basically was the letter to each Congress member. The average case cost per child is $3,462. Times at that point the 12 Osage children was $41,544 spent during the first 6 months of 2023. And again, they've added 3 more Osage children to those 12 children, bringing them up to a total of 15 that they're assisting at this time.
Committee, any other questions? Congresswoman Stabler.
I think the only thing I'd like to maybe add to it, and it's been a while since I've talked to them, but I know they gave up their office. We used to also fund an office for them in the bank building. And they couldn't, even though we gave it to them rent-free, they couldn't afford to maintain the office. So I don't know what happened as far as the funding goes. Just wondered if you knew.
She did mention that they had one grant that was very important to their functions that has decreased significantly, 4 years ago, the grant was $108,000, and in their 2023 allocation, reduced to $44,000.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Congressman Maker.
Okay. Was that this past question just now? Was that the only other source of revenue that this organization has?
No, go ahead.
Well, I will tell you that their budget for the year is $101,000, so that $108,000 grant was significant.
Yes, Congresswoman Stabler.
Part of their job is to also fundraise, and they do have several fundraisers each year. I did a fundraiser with them for a few years. I have not continued with that, and that fundraiser brought in about, I think the highest amount was $13,000 that we did. They do golf tournaments, they do shootings, they do several things. So they work hard to get the money that they need. And so I support them. I support them in the work.
Have they reached out to other, like our foundation or other tribes that have children in their jurisdiction?
They have reached out to other tribes, and that is a question that comes up each year, and it's a good question. Of course, them being located and serving the population that they do, the question is, does the tribe where they're located assist them? And the answer is no. They have not been able to secure funding from any other tribe. And as far as the foundation, that I do not know.
Congresswoman Stabler?
They do reach out to the foundation for the fundraisers and small projects, because the foundation is limited as to what they can give them.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair.
Congressman Big Horse.
I'm not on the committee, but I do have a comment. I worked in this field for approximately 20 years, and to send a child into a courtroom full of adults with no advocate by their side is a very traumatic experience, and I have seen this, and thank God that we do have CASA. I just wish the state, which is their supposed to be their funding agency, would look at them a little bit closer because of the work that they do. And I have known several CASA workers, and every time you talk to them, they are almost in tears because of the number of children that they're not able to serve because of their lack of funding. It's a shame that the other tribes around us are not contributing, but I do stand behind your committee and any amount of money that you may be able to give them. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman.
And committee, I know that we may be in a situation right at this time where we can't move it forward until we get more information from Treasury. I completely understand that, but I hope that when we are able to do so, we're able to fund it at the $50,000 request. I feel like it's important. Congressman Big Horse stated it beautifully. So I'm asking the committee to support this request.
Okay. And I agree. Like I mentioned, there's not a bill that has not been filed, whether it be, you know, from the request from executive or this branch, that isn't important. Most certainly an ambulance and things that help with our rural firefighters and things of that nature. But I appreciate your comment, second speaker. And if you're okay, I was wondering if you would consider that we postpone until we get the information from Treasury.
Yes, ma'am, Chair, that is what I expected. I just was hoping to get some feedback from the committee. Motion to postpone ONCA 2388 to the call of the chair.
Second.
Do we have a motion and a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, so Speaker, I apologize. I saw your email to the clerks, and ONCA 23-89, the act to authorize $100,000 to the Morgan's Corner Fire Protection District. You had asked that that be removed from discussion on this agenda, and I apologize that it is not. So we will. Do you want, you asked that it be removed. You don't want to, it's here. Do you want us to postpone it? Do you want to?
Well, I don't, I'm looking at the agenda off the calendar invite, and I don't see it on here.
Okay. Let me look. I thought it was. Okay, it is not. So thank you. I printed my agenda Friday. I apologize. Okay, well, thank you, Speaker. At this time, I would like to entertain a motion to recess until 10:45.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, thank you, committee. Let's recess till 10:45.